Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's Friday, TGIF, okay, the 28th of August, 2020, and it's a pleasure to have you here with us today, or maybe on the archives. We archive our shows, education-talkradio, one word, education-talkradio.org. All right, and we put a new schedule up there every Saturday. All right, you can follow us on LinkedIn. Let's do it a different way. Follow us on Twitter. Is this right? I think I'm right. Follow us on Twitter over at EduTalk Radio. LinkedIn is Larry Jacobs, and Facebook is Education Talk Radio or Larry Jacobs. And we always put our shows up there, and you can you'll always know what's going on over here. Last call for this week, join our consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education. So important these days. It's growing like crazy. It's free to educators. You get a subscription to our online journal, which is ace-ed.org is our website, and you'll love the journal over there. Please check it out. Okay, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, our acronym, same as the website, ace-ed.org. Our good friends are back from the American School Counselor Association today. All right, I want to thank Kathleen for putting together today's show over there at ASCA. We've got Jeff Heckman, who's been with us before, and Susan Arvidson, who has not. So we'll start with Susan, and I'll say, I'm Larry Jacobs. Susan, welcome to my show.
Good morning. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And if we don't meet in person, just keep in mind as you're talking, I look just like Brad Pitt.
Okay, that's good for me to know.
That's a simple way to do it. Yeah, make you feel comfortable about that. Susan is the, and I'm not sure I'm reading this right, but I'm going to read it the way I have it, the lead school counselor for St. Paul Public Schools. Are you like top of the line? Are you like the real number one?
No, I wouldn't say real number one, but I do have the privilege of being part of a leadership team. In our district, we have a large department of school counselors, and there are three lead counselors that provide the professional development and support for all the counselors that are in the building. So I specifically support the elementary counselors in St. Paul Public Schools.
Nice.
Yeah, we work together as a great team, and we support all of our amazing counselors every day.
Yeah, the counselors are pretty amazing. I got to tell you, we need more of them. As we will talk about, congratulations, Susan, because you were just elected to the ASCA Board of Directors. So congrats. You'll take office October 1st, right?
Yes.
All right. You excited?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so excited. It's just such a privilege to be able to be part of this board and to really see how we can impact change on a national level. I'm just thrilled.
Yeah, the time is now with all that's going on. We'll talk about that. Welcome back, Jeff Heckman. Are you there?
I am. Thank you, Larry. It's good to be back with you.
It's a pleasure to have you here, Jeff. And Jeff is calling from Platte City, Missouri. Where is Platte City?
It is just about 30 minutes north of Kansas City. We're 5 minutes from the Kansas City airport.
An airport I know quite well. I love it out there. It's great. I'll say the two magic words, Arthur Bryant. So we'll just go from there. Best ribs in America, just in case you don't know that. Okay, and that's great. And you're at Platte County High School. Okay, you were up for counselor. Were you school counselor of the year at one point, or were you up as a finalist for that?
I was Missouri school counselor of the year, and then I was up for a finalist for national school counselor of the year. Yeah.
Okay, congratulations on both of that. Both of those are a pretty damn big deal, I got to tell you, Jeff. Okay, it's yeah, it's great. And you, too, congratulations, are newly elected to the ASCA Board of Directors. And, again, you'll take office, too, on October 1st. And it's schoolcounselor.org, everybody, for ASCA, the American School Counselor Association. And I'll just say this right at the beginning. I said it a minute ago. I'm going to say it again. We need school counselors now more than ever. Okay? It's a crazy world out there. And I bet I know somebody who agrees with me, Jeff.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to swing back over. This is interesting that Susan is from St. Paul, which is right next to Minnesota. Minneapolis. It's in Minnesota, right next to Minneapolis, obviously, the Twin Cities, hence the Minnesota Twins. But, of course, that's where Mr. Floyd was murdered way back in March. All right? And you're literally right on top of history there. All right.
Yes.
And this is going, and which is, you know, we have to realize we are now all part of history. Okay, that's where, although many things have happened before that, that's where things start of peaked at the mountain. Okay, with Mr. Floyd's death, and you're right there. So I'm just going to ask you. I'm just going to go right into this. This is a national situation. All right, but because you're right there, Susan, how are you folks approaching that? And I know you're an elementary school counselor specialist, but it goes right through pre-K-12. Okay, kids are not stupid; they know what's going on. All right, and with anti-racism being a major force, we hope more so than ever in education. How's St. Paul looking at this from the school counselor's point of view? What do you see forthcoming, et cetera?
Well, thank you for asking that question. I mean, this is not just a headline to us. It's very, very real. It's our community.
Yeah.
Our children, our students, our staff, our families are hurting, and I know they are across the country. This, between George Floyd and now Kenosha, I mean, it just...
Yeah, right around
like,
the corner from you, actually, in the neighboring state. Kenosha.
And,
yeah.
You know, we like to think that we're very progressive in our state. And then
we all like to think that, yeah.
Right. But then this happens, and we are smacked in the face with the systemic racism and the incredible wounds that need to be opened first before they can be healed. And it's painful.
Wow.
So I will say that as school counselors, we ended and began our year really just trying to address this head on as much as we possibly can. I speak from the lens of being a white woman. That is a typical profile in education, right? And so I have to do my own work and continue to do my own work to understand my own biases and my own ways that I have benefited and feed into a system that does not work for all of our students.
Mm-hmm.
And then to lead with humility and openness to hear the raw stories of our staff of color, our families of color, and to be there as authentically as we can to support them personally and also professionally. We are committed to doing anti-racist work, and I'm glad that you've used that term. We're kind of done with a more politically correct way of looking at it. We can't be passive. We need to be actively anti-racist. And so just some really powerful things that we did in our opening meeting where we talked about our own complicity in the system and challenged every counselor to say what they were going to do to move their own work personally and professionally forward. Leaving any student behind is absolutely unacceptable. And that's one thing you're going to hear throughout as Jeff and I talk, because that's what ASCA is all about. I mean,
yeah,
our...
I know.
You know that. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do know that.
I don't mean to go on. I could talk for the
no,
next
keep
half
going
hour
on. Keep going on. I didn't mean to interrupt you like that, but that is what ASCA is all about. I'm just agreeing with you. Go ahead.
Yes. And so, you know, I would just say that one of the things that we need to do really intentionally is center the voices of our black and brown students, families, staff, in a space of education where, if we are honest, the white voice is centered. And so that's one thing that I'm working on personally, is how can I invite and engage a different perspective to be the center, not the outside, but the center of what we're doing. And we are in an incredibly diverse district, and so we have. I wish I could say the number of how many different racial groups and ethnicities
a lot.
We have.
It's diverse. It's St. Paul.
It's very diverse.
Yeah.
And so another thing that we're trying to do is work on how do we create open spaces for healing and just being present with one another, which is particularly difficult when we're all sitting on a Zoom call. So how do we make that an authentic space of healing for each other? Because counselors carry a heavy, heavy load, and so part of our job as lead counselors is to support those individual counselors so that they can go out and do the heavy lifting in their school communities.
Excellent. And by the way, regarding the school counselors, let me finish that sentence, of which there are not enough. We need more. Yeah, it's the load of a counselor, a student counselor, is unbelievable. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable. Before I ask Jeff kind of the same question, Susan, how is St. Paul going back to school?
We love
which is by the which, by the way, is a poem. How is St. Paul going back to school?
There
you go.
We are starting in distance learning. We'll be we have a couple of touch points this fall where we're going to, check to see if our district feels that it's safe for us to return to a hybrid model. But the soonest that would happen would be mid-October. So we're really leaning into how to make distance learning relevant and rigorous and full of authentic relationship. That's kind of our big challenge right now. And I have to just give a shout out to my district because the work that was done over the summer to create platforms and ways for us to really engage authentically with our students, it's very impressive. That is not my skill set. Some of these tech
news. It's nobody's skill set. It's no one's skill set. We're learning as we're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
And I like to say with this, every decision we're making is wrong and every decision we're making is right. Okay, we're trying to do the very best we can, and we just got to play it by ear. We've learned from the spring, and hopefully everything we're planning is working out. But teachers and educators in general should just pat themselves on the back. Good job.
Yep.
Don't moan and groan. We're gonna make mistakes along the way, but we're going to see what happens, and I hope parents know that. I wish you good luck with the way that's going to work out. I hope you can engage the kids well, especially from a counselor's point of view. It's hard enough just to do the classroom size, but then you got the heavy load of a counselor doing that remotely in crazy times. That is not easy, and I have a feeling Jeff will agree with that statement. Would I be right, Jeff?
Yes, I would agree. It is a challenge. You know, school counselors, we're all about relationships with our students, and When we go into a situation where you don't get to see them face-to-face anymore and you're having to talk to them over a Zoom call or some kind of platform where you just do video chat, it does make it more difficult to be able to talk to your students and connect with them. So, it definitely is a challenging time for us as school counselors.
It really is. And how's Platt County going to go back to school? You're a high school counselor, by the way, at Platt County High. What's the name of the team? The Platts? I have a feeling it's a better name than that. What's the name?
We are the Pirates.
The Pirates.
Yes.
You're out in the Midwest. There's no Pirates in the Midwest.
It's a pretty dry landfall, for our pirate ship. But we are out here, we are the Pirates, and we are pirate proud. Yeah.
Okay, pirate back. All right, I like it. I like your school spirit there. Okay, how are you guys going back to school at Platt County?
So we too will start back on September 8th, and we are offering two options for our parents and students, and that is they can be remote learners, so they can do everything completely online, or they can come back to school using a hybrid model. And what we mean by that is that they attend every other day. So on one day, they're in person, and then the next day, they are doing activities online. And whether they're activities
kind of like
to
flip learning. Yeah.
Whether it's activities to follow up on what they did in person or activities to prepare for the next day, that way they're staying engaged with the classes. So.
And how about counseling-wise? How are you going to handle that? Do you have any idea?
So,
I know you have an idea.
Putting a plan in place. And, what we want to do is we want to be safe. I mean, we want our students to feel safe. And so, certainly in times of crisis, we want students to know that they can come and visit with us in person. But we are going to utilize those remote standards as well. And as much as possible, we will visit with students virtually, have appointments with them, have conversations with them in a virtual platform to address the needs that they have. So we still want students to know that we are here for them, 100%, absolutely. We are here for our students. But we want to follow all of those measures that are put in place to protect our students. So it may be that, they have to mask up, we mask up, and we sit 6 feet apart and we talk to each other, or it may be that we're talking to each other over a video chat.
Yeah, and I hope they do mask up, because the masking, to my opinion, it should not be political at all. And it's actually, everybody's a pretty nice person. There's not a person who doesn't wear a mask who, if they saw someone fall down in front of them, would go over and help get them up. Okay? Because most people are good people. Okay? And that's, the mask is for other people. It has nothing to do with you. Okay? It has to do with you spreading the disease. And I hope people realize that, because they really are decent people, and they're upset about something that they, I hope they get over that, and that they, that it works out. I hope it works out well in the schools. They paid a little price for unmasking in Georgia. Okay? And Jeff, let me ask you, I'm going to ask you the same question. And I imagine, I don't know, how diverse is Platte City, Missouri, Platte County High School, et cetera? It's very different. Yeah, probably, I'm thinking, from St. Paul Public Schools, a big major city.
Yeah, there's not a lot of diversity in our population, and I think that it becomes even more important for us then to recognize diversity. And so what we're seeing here is, while the news is spotlighting and highlighting a lot of things that are happening that reflect the injustice in America, then it's important for us to take a step back and to say to our students, okay, those are news highlights that are happening in big cities, but it's happening here too. And what our students and our families have to be aware of is that even in our setting, we need to recognize the racial injustice that is happening. And that's when Sue talked about the systemic change that needs to happen with the race and racial injustice, that it's so important for us to sit with our students, to look at the American School Counselor Association national model, and to be able to work with our students in small groups, to use curriculum to go into the classrooms and to visit with our students, to have individual sessions with them, to help them see where is the systemic racism that's occurring within our setting, and how do we need to take a step back and look at our own privileges, look at things from our own perspective, and to understand how we might be contributing to the systemic racism that is happening. So it's being highlighted in the news, but it's still happening here too. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to draw attention to it so that our students can be agents of change. Our students can go out, and when they see racism happening, that they don't just step back with their phones and they take videos of it, but that they step into the situation and they stop it. Because I think that that's what's going to be so important to change when we look at systemic racism in our country, is to be able to have people who say, I'm going to step in and stop this. It's not just about capturing it with a phone, not just about standing back and watching it happen and telling a story later. We have to step in and stop.
Yeah, we do indeed. And you mentioned that you'd like to talk to small groups, okay, of students about this as a school counselor, all right? And is the school district able to allow you? Allow is too strong a word. Can they build in time to do that? Okay, and again,
certainly,
every school district is facing some, you know, crazy scheduling these days and all that. I understand that. But how's the school district reacting to what you said, if I may?
Yeah, certainly. The school district is supportive of that. I mean, they recognize that small groups are part of a comprehensive school counseling program. And so they are supportive in allowing time for that. And I think that it does look different in every school. I mean, in some schools, it is, hey, we need to bring these students out of the classroom for a little bit. And we work with teachers in understanding that, you know, if we want to create a child that is effective in all of the domains, not just academic, not just in career and college readiness, but also in social emotional. If we want them to be effective in all those domains, then we are going to have to take some time to work with those students apart from the classroom, so that when they come back into your classroom, they are ready to learn. And then we create a child that's effective in all of those domains. But in some schools, it might be that, but in some schools too, they have time that's protected within the day, where it might be a time that is built in just to meet the needs of students. So they might recognize we need to take 30 minutes during the day for students just to have academic time, or for students just to have time so that they can attend these small groups.
Yep.
For some schools, it's time before or after the
all
school day, and they'll work with transportation to get students there. So, you know, our school district, yes, they are supportive of meeting the needs for students in that way, of making sure that they have time to work in small groups.
And it doesn't surprise me at all when you said all of that. You know, it's interesting. Susan, you're more of an elementary school counselor, right?
Yes.
You would call yourself that, right? And Jeff is a high school counselor, okay? Yet you've got basically the same challenges, if I may, all right? And again, urban versus rural to some degree, or suburban, whatever you want to call Platt City, okay? Certainly St. Paul is urban, okay? Which, by the way, is a word I absolutely hate. It sounds always like a euphemism to me, okay? And I just don't – yeah, it's a more diverse district than perhaps Platt County is, as an example. But I just don't like that word. But I'll use it because we all use it, all right? But – you know, kids at different ages internalize things differently, okay, and they react to things differently. And so the crazy world we're in right now, okay, and if I may, in my opinion, it's pretty nuts. We got the pandemic, we got the racial stuff going on, the social justice. It's pretty wild out there right now, okay? And how do you approach an elementary kid like that? And then, Jeff, it's might be even harder to approach a high school kid, all right, because, you know, a lot of things are embedded in their personality, perhaps more so than in elementary. So let me start on that note. I could be wrong, but Susan, how are you going to get all this across as a counselor, okay,
right,
to an elementary school kid, or how do they react to this versus
right,
an older kid? Susan,
well, I think the important things to remember with young students is they don't always have the words, the language to express what they're feeling. And so sometimes those big feelings come out in behaviors that are either outward or more inward. And as a school counselor, it's kind of our job to be curious about these students and unlock what's going on there and to be able to go pretty deep with a student to understand what's underneath the behavior. Part of what we do as school counselors is to, you know, proactively teach lessons to our students and build skills, and one of those skills is really about how to put language to feelings. But developmentally, that takes some time, and I won't speak for Jeff, but I think there are still high school students that also struggle with finding the language to express.
Of course, they're kids. Yeah,
right.
Of course.
And adults, the same, right? And sometimes our feelings come out sideways. And so I would say one of the biggest things that an elementary counselor does is to recognize that student as an individual, as a complex human, just like we all are, even though they're small, and to take the time to get curious and figure out what's going on underneath, because the language doesn't always match the behavior and the feelings.
Yeah. You are so right there. And yes, they are complex little buggers. They really are. Okay, Jeff, high school. What's the word on that? Are we getting in too late on the program? Talk about that. Your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't think it's too late, but I do think that we need to be understanding that our high school students, they are expressing emotions and they are reacting in ways that they have learned from childhood, and so I think a big and important step with our high school students is to understand that they have been through trauma already, and
yep,
they're reacting in ways that reflect that. And so sometimes I think the first thing is just understanding why is it you're reacting in the way that you're reacting, and understanding the emotion that they have, because it very well could be tied to something else that is in their life.
Yep.
And so if we can get to understand that first, then we can help them understand where are we now, what is the reaction to what we have now. And I think, too, with our high school students, I mean, they are able to process some things differently than our elementary students are. And so it becomes even more important to talk to our students about the facts and to separate the reality from whatever it is that you may have heard, and what you heard, is that the truth? And what are we really reacting to? So let's understand, what are we reacting to? Are we reacting to the truth? Are we reacting to something that we've heard? And then, is our response an appropriate reflection of that, or is our response because of the trauma that we've had with something else in our life? And so for us, it becomes really like a process of peeling back the layers of, okay, let's get to the heart of what truly is the issue here. Are you really concerned because of coronavirus, or are you really concerned because mm-hmm. of something else that has happened and now we're attributing to the things that we're hearing?
Yeah, it's really pretty. There's so much going on. And on that note, I wanted to ask you, Jeff, I'll stick with you, okay? We've been through this now for 4 months, 5 months, whatever it is, since March, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I know everybody had a summer vacation and time off, but we're still dwelling on all this. And what effects of both the pandemic, okay, which let's not forget that's going on, and then B, all the social justice questions that are coming up, and they come up, if I may, politically for both conservative and liberal and those in between. They're out there. How we react is the difference, but we all know they're out there. What have you seen how these are affecting what schools do? And from the counseling perspective, okay, these days. So I'll ask you that first, Jeff, then I'll ask the same of Susan. Okay, but what literally have you seen or heard or dealt with?
Sure. What I see from schools is that they are really trying to listen to a variety of sources to make sure that we're doing things that are best for our students. So I know that they're listening to parents. They're listening to health departments, CDC guidelines. They're listening to focus groups from students as well to truly get a grasp on and understand not only what are the concerns, but what are the requirements as we come back to school. And so I know that schools are doing everything they can to try to make sure our students are safe as they come back into the classrooms. But I know that they're also trying to do everything they can to make sure that our students feel like as they come back into the classrooms that we have taken notice of everything that has happened during the summer, that we are going to have those conversations about the racial inequity, mm-hmm. about the things that have happened over the summer, the things that we have seen on the news. I mean, I think what becomes so frustrating is that we see things on the news, and then in a couple of weeks, there's something else that's taken the place.
Right.
And
exactly.
It's almost as if the expectation is, okay, so let's forget that that's a priority and let's move on to the next thing. And our students and our families are not forgetting. So we can't either. It has to be a forefront of discussion with all of us. And we have to know that our students are coming back into the classroom with a host of concerns of things that they've heard from the summer. Are they going to be safe in the classroom? Are they going to be mm-hmm. treated with equity? Are they going to come back and learn and not feel like that there is a gap from where we left off at the year before? And
well,
I think, too, Larry,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
we
yeah.
have to understand, too, that there's also positives with returning. I mean, I know with my own children, they're just excited that they get to see their friends again.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, there's a lot of things that I think that schools are trying to do right now to put everything in place to make sure everybody is safe. And at the heart of it all, they're doing what they feel like is in the best interest of our students because they truly want them to come back to a place where they feel safe, a place where they feel like they're learning and growing, but a place where they feel like that this is the place where they can come to and they know that we are going to look out for them because
yeah.
that's what we do here.
It's a key thing. Susan, what would you add to that or talk from the St. Paul point of view? What have been the effects of all this pandemic? And by the way, I have to say something, which we kind of gloss over. Jeff touched on this. You know, the news moved on to the hurricanes. The news mm-hmm. moved on to the top story being the social justice, especially this week with Kenosha and all that sort of thing. And that's what we're talking about. It is they got to move to something that's new, hence the word news. Okay,
right.
That's why that word is there. It's what's happening right now. But it doesn't mean other things are left by the wayside. They just drop down a little bit for a while. All right, and you know what have you dealt with? Seen the effects of kids in a pandemic, which right now is not top of news. Okay,
right.
A lot of these kids lost relatives. I mean, 180,000 people died. Somebody lost relatives somewhere. Okay,
yeah.
And or the neighbor died, or Uncle Jim died, or whatever the case may be. Okay. And so what do you see as the effects, okay, of all this? And then you got social justice on top of that.
Well,
what have
I
you
think,
dealt with? Yeah.
I think that Jeff really kind of nailed it on the head when he started to discuss trauma. Our community and us as teachers have all experienced lots and lots of kind of ongoing traumatic situations. And trauma lives in our bodies. And I think that, as I say, I experience things from my lens as a white, you know, middle class woman, okay? So I know that I'm aware of the trauma that I've been experiencing through all of these things and through the fact that, as you mentioned, everything goes so quickly that you don't even have time to process.
Yeah.
You don't even
have
time to sit and really just reflect. So imagine if I'm feeling that way with the pandemic, the social unrest, the political, all of these pieces, hurricanes. If I'm fires in California, I'm feeling that way,
right.
What does it feel like to be an African-American teenage boy right now? Like, I can't put myself in those shoes, but I think that we have to approach our students and our staff and our community through the lens of our trauma-informed practices. And I will say in our district, our school social work department has been leading all of us in understanding the role of trauma. I'm reading a book right now that really addresses historic trauma and generational trauma, and I think there's just so much to unpack with all of that. But I would say one of the biggest things that we need to do for our students when we all come back together is we have to be real, and we have to have enough courage to create spaces for students to talk about all of this or not talk and just be with us. I think sometimes as educators, we talk too much, and we need to be quiet. We need to hear and listen, deeply listen to other people's experiences. And I think that it is a challenge in distance learning for the reasons that we've talked about, right, trying to create authentic relationships through a, iPad, but also because I think there's a sense of urgency in terms of our academic achievement. I will say that I think we know that what we did in the spring was as good as we could make it, but it wasn't good enough. And so we have to continue.
Yeah, we did the best we could. Yeah, pat yourself on the back, everybody. I stand by that comment. Yeah.
And so, and that's not throwing shade at anyone. I know the people in my district worked their tails off. We had idea how to, make this happen. So we keep talking in our district, and I'm sure others too, about distance learning 2.0. How do we take this to the next level? Because we have to be sure that our kids are, receiving academic rigor, but that has to be couched in relationship. I think another thing that kind of comes to mind that can happen because of all the things that we've talked about is just kind of a disengagement of students. They don't really know why any of this school stuff matters right now. And so that's another piece that we have to intentionally make connections for students about what their goals are. And this is one thing I think is uniquely part of a school counselor's job, as we know our students deeply on a personal level, and then we also know what they want for their lives. It's our job to make connections to the learning so that the learning becomes relevant, so that our students become independent learners, are striving for what they want. And they feel like they're heard and seen in the spaces, right? It's not about what I want to teach you. It's about what you want to learn and how do we create. Zaretta Hammond talks about learning partnerships and how do we really engage our students, even the pre-Kers, in a learning partnership.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Kind of top-down kind of a thing. And I think so. I'm sorry. I think I went a lot of directions with that answer. But
that's okay. It was beautiful. Okay. I love the way you said that. And, you used the term, I'm going to say this, and I've said this before. Okay. We call it distance learning. And I have an argument with that because we aren't sure anybody's learning anything. We haven't figured out how to assess this. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I like to make sure that we're doing distance education. and we want to make sure that that is distance learning. They're not necessarily the same thing right now, okay? It's distance education, and we got to assess that, okay, and make sure it works, and then it becomes distance learning, okay?
Right.
It's, you know, that's my opinion on that. No, you didn't go too long on that. I want to just ask one thing. I said at the beginning of the show, we got about 5 minutes left, and I said at the beginning of the show, we are the American Consortium for Equity in Education, and I hope you guys join our consortium. It's free, ace-ed.org. Please go over and do that today, Susan, Jeff, and anybody's listening, pre-K-12, ace-ed.org. But counseling, there are so few counselors for so many kids, and counseling is so important, at least it always was when I was in school, okay? I think it still is now, but the numbers are not skewed anymore. Jeff, talk about the word equity, okay, and school counseling, okay? Because there's just not enough school counselors to go around to help every kid, especially in overstuffed schools. Jeff?
Yeah, that's if we want to ensure that our students are receiving equity of services, we have to make sure that we have enough school counselors to ensure that they can do that.
Here.
You know, I look at the challenges of the conversations that I want to have with students. I look at the challenges that I have in meeting the needs of my students and to make sure that they are on, everybody is receiving the same services so that they can all do what they need to do in the school day and beyond. And, you know, at Platte County High School, we're pretty good. We're at 1 to 300, and the ASCA recommendation is 1 to 250. That's the new recommendation for the state of Missouri, even, that it's 1 to 250. And so we're not too bad here. But even still, I struggle with trying to meet the needs of every student because they're just not enough hours in the day. And so I look at some of our states where, you know, there's 1 to 600.
Exactly.
And I think about how do we ensure that every student is getting treated the same? And how do we ensure that every student is getting the same services and that they're, and more importantly, that we're allowing school counselors to tailor what is right for each student so that they're prepared for the next step in school, that they're prepared for the next step in life? How are we able to achieve equity when we're not empowering our school counselors to be able to work with every student to meet their needs
as needed? Exactly right. And you bring up a good point. At our consortium, everybody knows the challenges out there. We are looking for the solutions, okay? And actually, I'm going to ask both of you, and I'm going to get back to you in a second, Susan. I'd love to hear your thoughts on paper. You're welcome to write an article for us for our magazine or our website about the school counselor's role. Okay, as A, as we head back to school, and B, in terms of equity. And Susan, real quick, I know it's a PhD-type question. Defend your thesis in 45 seconds, Susan. Okay, equity in school counseling. Okay, you're on. Okay, that's enough. No, just kidding. Take a few minutes and just talk about equity, okay?
You know I'm not good at the answer. You know that about me by now. I will say that I feel very fortunate to work in a district that really elevates the role of school counselors. We have the largest group of elementary counselors in our state, the largest department. In the state of Minnesota, our ratios are pretty terrible, and a lot of the reason for that is we've emphasized high school and middle school counselors, and very few districts have elementary counselors. And so, as I always say to my dear high school colleagues, like, we as elementary folks are here to make your life easier.
That's right.
And as we have grown our elementary program, I've heard from middle school counselors, the students come right in and they know, you're the counselor, you're here to help me. They don't have to teach kids how to utilize or access a counselor because they've known since they walked in the door at kindergarten. But I will say our ratios in our district are kind of all over the place, and we do have some counselors that have close to 600 on their caseload at elementary, and it's an incredible challenge. And one thing that I say to our counselors all the time, I think the way there's a lot of ways to combat this and continue our growth so that everyone has that equitable access to a counselor. And the best way to do it, and my counselors do this every day, is to be excellent, to show exactly what you do for students and families. And over the years, as we've leaned into really utilizing our Ask a National model and doing school counseling the way our national organization tells us to, that's when we begin to get traction. And so I would say if there's any counselors out there who are struggling with a large caseload and feeling, you know, like Jeff had said, and I think every counselor I've ever met says there's just not enough hours in the day. There's just not enough. If
That's right.
you want to advocate for yourself, lean into our national model, because that is that's data-driven. It makes sure that you are communicating with your administrator on a regular basis. You are having an advisory council, so you're connecting with your community. Once people get it, you will find that support. And even in these crazy times that we're in right now, we added more counseling FTEs this year. And
wow.
I think I just keep telling my team, they are really – they are the best advocates. Their excellence and their striving to do the very, very best by each and every student, that's the best way to advocate for more counselors.
And a great way to put it, a great way to end this, one of the great things, okay, a solution is communicating the role of the counselor, communicating internally and, if I may, externally. Okay, and get the support you need, et cetera. That was very good. Both of you, I have to go. I have to end the show, but I really enjoyed this. And I'm going to get in touch with you because I'd love to hear more of what you're doing. I hope you take a minute and join our consortium over at ace-ed.org. We need people like you. So, Jeff and Susan, thanks a million. Guys, stay safe and I won't talk to you before, but have a good Labor Day.
Thank you so much.
Which is a week from now. Okay?
Yes.
Take care.
Thank you, Larry.
Have a good weekend. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Susan. Bye. And
bye-bye.
Stay safe. Thanks, Susan. Okay. All right. We're going to archive education-talkradio.org. Tweet out at EduTalkRadio. I'll say it again. Join that consortium. We need voices like this. ace-ed.org. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. I've got mixed up on the weekends. Not this weekend. Next weekend is Labor Day, but I want you to have a safe weekend and enjoy the week before Labor Day. What can I tell you? Anyway, I'm Larry Jacobs. Thanks for listening.